Okay, let me. Files, files, files. Okay. Call to order. First order of business is the roll call. People in Thailand.
Here. Braulio.
Councilman Bear.
Here.
Councilman Berman.
Here.
Councilman East.
Here.
And John Updike, who's also a councilman.
None of us are, but here.
Here. Bill Brannigan is here. And Hanselman will be coming shortly, I guess. Okay, an update on city plans to modernize its website by John Fuller.
Gentlemen, John Fuller, City of Newport Communications. Always a pleasure to speak with the Fun Commission here. I like it.
We're the Fun Group.
Update over. We're good. Not a huge update here. I will be given a much more detailed report at the, I believe, February 3rd work session before the City Council meeting. As you all know, we're currently working on redevelopment of our city's website and online assets. So where we're at in that phase right now is we are looking at essentially the site map. You're looking at our current website up on the screen in front of you. But the site map essentially creates the user experience. So when someone comes to our site, the ease of getting to another place, the ease of finding the information they need to find. That is something we're in the audit portion of that right now, of what's on our current site and what it'll look like on our new site. And then when I have the update in a few weeks, we'll start looking at some mock-ups of designs of how the new website will look like. But I think we'll also have a better idea of what the site map will appear and will show. We are looking at a host of different options. Anytime you do a website like this, you also want to not only modernize it, streamline it for the user, but also add in ways that the community as a whole can benefit from the change. So you want to introduce and add in new features for them. So we're looking at a myriad of those options right now. Whether it comes to just ease of being able to submit requests, items by forms, a little more than they're able to right now, right on through the potential of different payment options online, things like that. So, but none of those are set in stone at this time. Those will have to go through approvals when it comes to budgets, things like that. We're waiting on those numbers all to come back. But that's kind of our update. We'll probably be looking at, if I'm being fair, approximately 3 to 4 months being live. excuse me. What this will entail is we'll get through this process, and then we'll get through a process of content review with all of our departments and everyone on a little more in-depth piece of this is the actual content that is going to be here on our website. What essentially happens is they build a backdoor site for us to be able to create that. So when we go live, everything is gone through the approvals. It's not a go live and hope everything is great. We want to make sure we're doing our full diligence across the board. So community development and the work that Derek and his team do will obviously play a pretty prevalent role. You have a pretty large number of files and documents, as I've seen already, that are able to be found through our website currently. So we want to make that experience a little bit easier, a little bit more digestible for the community to be able to find what they need to find, especially on this portion of the website. And that's the update.
So this is an opportunity, Trustee Hitchens, just kind of reflect a little bit on what your feelings are about access to information through the city's website. One thing John would very much appreciate is any feedback you have as to what you absolutely like and it needs to stay, or what you would like to see that's not there right now.
It would be nice, someplace along within the the website to be able to access all of the regular sessions of the Planning Commission. We have that in for one of the other commissions that we have, where you can kind of click on it, and then it brings up all the, you want to say, boom, 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 everything for the past year, for every meeting they had, so you could then go take a look at that particular meeting. But we don't have it for the Planning Commission.
I believe we do, actually.
Well, I couldn't find it then.
No, actually, I will make sure that happens.
Yeah, but on the on this, there was a, you could go in someplace in here, because I was fooling with it this afternoon, where, you know, you could access.
I think all you have to do is committee, and then planning, that and then archive there. Media, right? Yeah.
Just search archives. Well,
yeah, I knew that, but I thought I saw something on the map. Also, on the what you have in here, we have, you know, if you really come down in there, we have certain places that show up, like Kumyans and Chevron Gas, Money Saver Metal, and then we have Les Schwab Tire Center, which isn't there anymore. So when we roll it out, we might want to just make sure that.
Can I ask what you're looking at?
Looking at the map from the homepage.
The map
from
community
okay.
development.
Yeah, okay.
Community development.
Yeah, there's a lot of content through our current website that is outdated. I don't think that's a secret to anybody in here. So, and it's not exclusive to Derek's department, unfortunately. I've been meeting with our department directors over the last week and a half, couple weeks. Those will continue in the next 2 weeks. But also when we get into our phase of looking at content that is on the site, we'll certainly be updating quite a few things across the board.
Yeah. Okay, fine, thank you.
That was going to be exactly my question, because there's an awful lot of links here that either don't work or haven't been updated in a very long time, and some of them are portraying inaccurate information at the moment. I specifically looked at the zoning district descriptions, and those don't match up with the current municipal code. So, but you're going to work, you're going to make that list as you go through and look at all the links in the documents.
I have a lengthy list already, and it's only going to get longer. I know if we can pass the Bob Berman test, then we'll pass any test pretty much when it comes to accuracy.
I don't know whether that's a compliment or not.
Like I said, there is a lot of outdated information on our website. This has given me a great opportunity to kind of pour through every single page that lives within our current site, which is a lot. We have a lot of content, it's a pretty massive spider web as it exists right now. We want to bring that in, rein that in a little bit, streamline it, and then, make sure all of our information is updated and a little bit cleaner. So the content portion, the content review is probably the lengthiest part of doing a website like this, because we need to make sure everything that goes on the new site is going to be fully accurate. No matter what, top to bottom, every department, but not only for fully accurate for when we launch, fully accurate in a way that our departments are going to be able to continue to keep it accurate and updated as it goes along. And so that'll be something we'll be tying into this as well.
I found what I was looking for on the, the community development page, right above the yellow stuff there. We have City Center Revitalization Project, and right below that it says Newport Parking Advisory Committee page. Right there, see that? I'm on the parking committee, so that's what I try to. So when you click on it, it brings up all of the past meetings, which is kind of what triggered me to say, gee, maybe we should do that also for the Planning Commission.
Okay, yeah.
Well, yeah. Actually, they're right on the same page.
So John, are we tied to the same web software? web design software, or are we looking at different options?
This will be the actual design, the updating will be different. It'll be a different process for us as a city. So, but we have a web developer that'll be working on that for us as a city. I'm not the one developing it. I think that's everybody's nightmare across the board. So we have a fantastic web developer through an RFP process that'll be working on that side of things. And then they'll do an orientation for us as a staff. And I want to bring more people from around the city into that process so that we have plenty of people here in the city who know how to update and keep our content updated and accurate across the board.
Okay. There was the budget committee allocated some money for a document management system study. They were going to actually buy it, but it was way premature because, you know, there were no specs, no nothing. So we put in some money for a study. Has that happened? And how does that coordinate with your work in terms of, you know, just what you were saying, referencing documents that are up to date?
Yeah, I believe a lot of that took place before I was here when it came to those line items, things like that. To my knowledge, there has not been an actual study that's done. I don't think with both my knowledge base with Travis Reeves, our IT director, his knowledge base on this, I don't think any of us really felt like we needed a study to know that we needed a new system and we needed to do something a little bit stronger.
No, that wasn't what it's a study about document management throughout the city organization. There's evidently some terribly overstuffed document room somewhere. And the idea was, of course, full document management and retrieval electronic and, you know, converting all that paper into electronics and then maintaining it that way with revision history and all those kinds of things.
I think those are two things. I don't want to say separate. They're two a little bit different things. One is document management online, which we could be stronger at and be better at. That's something we're certainly looking right at. The transfer of documents from hard copy to actual online, it would be a completely different task and job and would require a staff to come in and do some of that management. So I wouldn't be able to answer that question. I just said
it was a funded study. I don't know if it happened. Evidently not.
I don't know. I can't answer. I don't know if that study happened or not. I would hope if it had happened,
you would have known about it. So, okay.
Yeah, there were a couple of pieces I recall, Bob. One of them I do know has been acted upon by the city manager's office, which has to do with the transfer of the maintenance of the municipal code third party.
Right. That was a separate issue.
That has moved forward. It's not done yet.
Right.
But the city selected Muni Codes as a vendor for that. And Jeannie, who's our interim city reporter, working with them on getting that fully integrated and back to the city so you can see it. That will have a different look and feel and would have to be incorporated in a new website because it's going to be working through a third party, kind of like we do with Granicus. And I assume Granicus is still going to stay in terms of the management.
Yeah, that's the plan right now. Yes.
So you'll see some, you know, in addition to Granicus, you're going to see Muni Codes in the new one, and it will be an easier interface to go through the municipal code, find what you need in the municipal code.
Right. I was a big supporter of that at budget time. But this is a sort of a separate little problem. They wanted basically to allocate a bunch of money to buy some more file cabinets or something. And the budget committee felt that they wanted some money to just buy a document management system and digitize all that stuff. And it was a huge job and was way underestimated by whoever requested that. So the money was allocated to basically to pick some software that will be used throughout the city for document management. And
and I don't know the status of that one, Bob. I mean, okay. I know that was.
I'll find out when we start doing budget committee.
But they may not have been able to get to that. There are large quantities of information that we're required to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it short duration, some of it permanent. We each have a different approach. You know, some scan in-house, and make those electronic documents available that way. Others, like our office, we farm it out annually. Coming to some consistent approach to how we do that and the nomenclature on the back end so that it's consistent as possible. That's still work to be done.
Excuse me, commissioners. I just wanted to let you know that Commissioner Hanselman just joined the meeting online.
Okay.
Well, we look forward to seeing whatever you ask. I mean, it's going to be fun. It's necessary. It's been necessary for years. So that's great.
We're excited for it. I think everybody's kind of excited to move in a different direction there and move it forward. So like I said, I'll be presenting at a work session for City Council in a few weeks and probably have a little more detailed updates at that time.
Yeah, John, I just would add one other thing. With the update, I know you're on it, but you know, the existing interface is fairly clunky on the phone. Yeah. You know, I'm assuming the new one will.
Yeah.
To different screen sizes in a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you certainly want to make it mobile friendly. Just a little bit on my history. I think you guys know my resume a little bit at this point anyway, but previously at the Florida Department of Citrus, I underwent a pretty similar project here of kind of revamping and rehashing our websites. And that was a state agency. We had a lot of the same things we had to abide by when it comes to information and ethics and streamlining things, but also promoting very direct products, which was orange juice and grapefruit. So we were successful in creating those websites, and it had to include 9 international websites along with it for the countries that we export to. And then also make it mobile friendly. So those are all things that are going to be top of mind as we're creating this. We understand that 2025 is a very different age. And so a lot of people want to access things via phones, tablets, not necessarily at a desktop computer. So we have to be pretty mindful of that as we move forward on all this stuff.
If something comes to mind, any of you, just let me know. I'm happy to pass that information along to John. Progress.
Yeah. Will you be coming back here with
never again
preliminary design?
Absolutely. I can't speak for that. I certainly plan to, as the process goes. We want to be very transparent and working with everybody across the boards. I'm sure whether it's myself or Derek, one way or another, certainly once we get into a content phase. I think that'll be an important part. That's an area we have to get right. We don't want to get it right. We have to get it right. So that is one we're going to take our time. And if we need to meet with more people at that point, then we will. But yeah.
So the user input other than Planning Commission and City Council will be deferred till later? I mean, I assume you have a phase where you're going to go out to the public and say, what do you think? What do you use this for? You know, Mr. Developer. We used to have a developer on here and on the commission, and you know, he had very strong ideas about looking at the permit section and the regs that applied to each different kind of project. So, you know, I'm hoping that outside input will also be solicited.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I was kind of along those same lines, wondering if you're going to just put something on the website where you invite, you know, likes, dislikes, or some very simple survey without overwhelming you with a bunch of responses. But those are the direct user. I mean, I don't see this as a postcard to every person in Newport, but you do want to talk to the people who are looking at the website, right? And having them directly tell you, hey, I like this, I hate that.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. Those are important inputs for us. And so as the process progresses, we'll be speaking with, you know, different community members at different levels. And we already have. It's one of the first things when I came here is we need to change our website. We need to update our website. And those are discussions I've been having for 7 months with people around the community, probably in a less official capacity. But But those are certainly things we're very mindful of, you know, moving forward. And like I said, as I said at the start, when we're looking at adding different things in, when you do something like this, you want to make sure there's true community benefit to it, correct? You don't want to just, oh, it looks prettier. There needs to be things that are added in that, that create an ease, a comfort for community members mm-hmm. as they're going forward. So, yeah.
And once we get it done, will it be relatively easy for somebody to keep it updated, or?
That is the plan. And the plan is to do some orientations with the developer so that we'll have multiple members here at the city of Newport, not just IT, not just communications. I would, in my dream world, I would love to have at least one person in each department with knowledge of how to update their areas and their departments so they don't have to also, we have a very busy IT department and backlogging them with updates to our website isn't usually the quickest and most streamlined option. So it'd be great if different departments were able to access their own pages to keep things updated and accurate as well.
Okay. I sign up to update it? Sign up to help update?
I'm too old. I wouldn't make it through the whole process.
Okay. Any other questions of Mr. John? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to have you at our meetings.
I enjoy it. This is the fun one.
Okay. Moving right along, we're next up is item 2B, which is a rip-roaring, exciting one, called the discussion of the land use-related legislative concepts for the 2025 session. Mr. Director.
Thank you, Derek Tokos, Community Development Director. The 2025 legislative session is starting to fire up, and the legislative concepts are starting to circulate. And I wanted to bring you in, bring this up to you earlier than we have in the past. You know, if you have thoughts or concerns, I have the ability to, you know, put that information out to the league. I'm on a number of committees with the league that particularly like housing and general community development type stuff where I could, you know, float out those comments or concerns because they may be shared by other jurisdictions as well, you know. Housing is, again, a significant focus point for the governor's office. And the governor's office is putting together another bill that's similar to 1537, but focuses on some other things, cleans up some things in their mind. Because I mentioned in my staff memo, the you know, I attached not only a draft of the legislative concept, but also attached to it was a spreadsheet which outlined, you know, some of the areas where changes are likely to occur. And this isn't the only time I'm going to be bringing stuff forward to you. As the legislative session progresses, you'll see actual bills, you'll see which ones are moving forward, which ones a city council has weighed in on in terms of the areas that we're responsible for, which is largely land use and urban renewal and building codes and things of that nature, infrastructure. You know, one of the things that jumps out to me and I think is going to be, you know, we've had a few discussions about it, you know, the proposal they have to prohibit local governments from requiring exactions on middle housing is going to be pretty controversial. As you know, an exaction is a requirement to build a public improvement. We do that all the time with new development in infill areas. Now, as you know, we've We've made some of those requirements more lenient for infill areas, recognizing you're dealing with an existing lotting pattern, sometimes narrower rights of way than we would normally require now because they were platted back in the early 1900s. So we've done the skinny street standards and things of that nature, which help folks. But, you know, when you have an existing home, for example, get redeveloped into a sixplex, and it's a gap in your sidewalk network, we'd be requiring sidewalk as part of their construction project. Those are the kinds of things that they would prohibit, you know, up to a certain number of units. And so that's going to get a lot of discussion. System development charges will be a significant topic. What you saw in here for the middle housing concept was some sort of model STC methodology so that they were all consistent and the same. We'll see whether or not that gets traction or not. I do know that Representative Gamba, who had put together a bill that would have the state financially back up an STC deferral program, will be reintroduced. That legislation almost passed last session. And this is one that would allow SDCs to be deferred to occupancy. And if a developer somehow fails to pay, then the state would make that payment for them and would go after the developer. So it takes the administrative burden off the local government from having to deal with that. And that's why most local governments don't do SDC deferrals, because it's too much of an administrative hassle. You can, you know, with an SDCs, like building permit fees, we collect them at the time the permit is issued. Why? Because we know the developer wants the building permit. That's the time we have them there to make the payment. Those can be significant payments, though. And so a deferral program would allow a developer not, you know, the option of not having to basically pull that out of their construction loan. Maybe they can pull those out of their permanent financing at a more favorable rate than, you know, so there's some good argument for doing deferral, but I think it is going to take something like Representative Gamba's concept for it to really work, you know, statewide. And so hopefully we'll see if that gets traction in the upcoming session. What else did we have? We had, legislative concept 358 is the framework for distribution of housing infrastructure funding. There was also a requirement in 1537 from last session where they had Eco Northwest, a consultant, put together a report to advise the legislature on how to distribute funds for local infrastructure projects that support housing. You might recall last session we had one in which was called the Howe bill, which was a housing related infrastructure bill, but our project got pulled out along with about 2/3 of the projects in that list on the last or second to last day of the session when they were trying to make all the numbers work. But it was, you know, that bill concept was one where you had to see the homes materialize within a specific period of time. It wasn't just providing infrastructure money just out of goodwill of the legislature. Now, they did have another bill which was more like that goodwill of the legislature, where you have a number of jurisdictions that received substantial sums of money. Siletz is one, for example, to modernize their wastewater system. But they're under no obligation as part of that to generate additional housing. And the legislature, coming out of that last session, said, hey, well, if we're going to get into the game of funding local infrastructure for housing, we need an equitable way to do that. We need one that people, you know, it's not just willy-nilly, you know, whoever knows, whichever legislator has more pull down there in Salem gets their project. They want a consistent approach. And Eco Northwest provided a number of metrics. I'm not sure where that's going to go, but they at least floated it out, and the legislature has that information. When I looked over the legislative concept, the one thing that jumped out to me was it's tied to affordable housing, which is a very small portion of of our housing stock. And
it seemed that that kind of negated all the effort they put into the evaluation criteria, because the less affordable the housing, the lower the rating. And affordability seemed to seep into a number of the categories. So I would hope the legislature would take that affordable housing requirement out, like you suggested, because it's so limiting, and realize that's sort of addressed in the evaluation criteria. So the more affordable, the better it's going to score. Is that, am I understanding that correct?
No, I'm with you. And I think that's where there's going to be pushback from local governments, because, you know, the point with all of this is more housing across the spectrum. Affordable is just one piece of the spectrum. And as you probably noticed, the governor's proposal for the affordable side with Oregon Housing Community Services is already substantial just for building affordable housing units. So, and I really do think, and from my perspective, it's if you're going to carve out some infrastructure money specifically for affordable, do that and put it in the Oregon Housing Community Service bundle, you know, with the money for constructing units. Have it all in the same place, that they have some additional resource to cover extending roads or widening roads or putting sidewalks in or all the other things you need to do when you're adding, in many cases, you know, 50 to 100 affordable housing units. Many of these are pretty good sized projects. As you know, Surfview Village was 110 units, you know, and they had to reconstruct Northeast 60th to make that work, along with putting in, you know, bus stop and stuff like that. And that all has a cost. But there needs to be, you know, from our perspective, some meaningful funding source for the market rate too, because that's an important part of the puzzle. So we'll see how it evolves, because there will be a number of jurisdictions poking at that particular issue, I think.
Can I talk for just a second?
Mm-hmm.
I was intrigued by a couple of things. One is on page 2.
Mm-hmm.
Requires cities to allow 1 to 2 additional units on sites zoned for duplexes, triplexes, or quadplexes if sold as affordable housing. Standards should dictate that there must be at least one unit that sells, just one unit that sells for at or below 120% of medium income with a 10-year resale restriction. Cities may seek recourse for unmet standards. That really intrigued me, because my father was a developer, and I'm basically work for a development organization now. And when I was going through this, that just jumped out at me as opportunity. And over here on the page prior, it says remove the requirement for cottage clusters to be detached units of 900 square feet or less. Enable them to be attached. It's a big thing. Require them to still be small units with specifics articulated in OAR 660-046. And remove the requirement for units to circle a courtyard and replace it with a requirement for inclusion of a community amenity to be specified in rule.
Mm-hmm.
These types of things, I think, are really proactive for the affordable housing. It's a big change. So just wanted to
comment on that. There'll be a tug of war, I think, on the exactly how much additional density is allowed in your lowest density residential areas. And I think the issue often will boil down to whether or not your infrastructure was sized originally to support the additional density. I don't think anybody argued when they said, hey, you have to allow a duplex on every lot where a single family residence is allowed. Okay, so theoretically that, you know, that will lead up to a number of units being in an area that's, you sized your infrastructure, your water lines, your wastewater lines for a certain number of homes in that area. That's probably not going to overtax that infrastructure. okay, then now we extend that to, you know, full middle housing, which would be up to fourplexes. You start to see it build up. If you start to get to, you know, a tripling or a quadrupling of potential density, now you might be getting into a spot where, well, we don't have the infrastructure to support it. So that's going to be, I think, where the tug of war is on some of this.
I understand that.
Is it, you know, while you can put that on paper, can you make it work on the ground with what you've got already in that area? Because it was all built with an understanding that you're going to have one kind of built form, and now you're shifting to a much higher density, which I'm not saying is bad. We need every unit we can get. But in some areas, we can accommodate that. In other areas, it's going to take a pretty significant change on our infrastructure to make it work. It's funny you brought up cottage clusters. Is we have a beautiful example that actually made it into a handbook and map that DLCD put out. And I don't have it in my heart to tell them that's not built to their cottage cluster standards. That's the part where, you know, where you're talking about, well, do away with this very specific requirement, like the allow them to be attached, not around a courtyard. We allow a great deal of flexibility, and that's how that one came to be, the one right across from the inn at Knight Beach. It doesn't meet the cottage cluster's standards that they've put in administrative rule, and frankly, we haven't had a developer who's expressed interest in it because the rules get too detailed.
I'm actually working on a project for it's a tiny home project, mm-hmm. up in Lincoln City, mm-hmm. and I was reading this and I thought, wow, it may be worth kind of holding back a little while to see what happens, but you know, with the square foot of each of the tiny homes and stuff, it fits into this. To me, it fits mm-hmm. into this.
This is going to happen in some form, just like 1537. Yeah. This is coming from the governor's office. It's a priority of the governor. It's going to happen. It's just this language will probably change a bit more and evolve as it goes through the process, just like 1537 did. But it's gonna happen. I have no doubt about that.
So the way I was reading through this, you know, one thing that stood out was cities can't use any form of traffic impact analysis.
Yeah, that's another one that's going to be
and it's like, you know, if it gets really dense, it's like to know what the traffic flow is so you can make a decision, does the roads need to be wider, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah, I think one of the things that has come up amongst the city discussions is that when the governor's done like 1537 and a lot of the middle housing work, they assumed it was infill. And that's not what all of these projects are. You are seeing, you know, fairly dense projects coming in greenfield. Albany had a good example of one that's coming in where it's now it's a large tract of land. These rules weren't structured that way. You definitely need traffic impact analysis if you're dealing with, say, a 10 or 20 acre property and a boatload of units coming in there, you know, as opposed to just a small project, you know, maybe less than a dozen units inside a, you know, in an infill area that's already substantially built out. It's, you know, that's not going to trigger the need for a signal or, you know, alternate roadways to kind of disperse your vehicle traffic and things of that nature. So they're struggling with that, you know, because standards, infill is one thing, brand new greenfield development's an entirely different critter. So let's see how that plays out.
Then the other thing that popped up was they had a discussion over ADUs, the fact that as you develop, mm-hmm. you know, you can't put any restriction on ADUs for middle housing developments, particularly if they're already existing, and now mm-hmm. everybody decides to put an ADU on, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's another burden on the infrastructure.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. What else do we have? Oh, The next two I wanted to talk briefly about. 1066, Goal 9, Health and Safety Standards for Industrial Siting. We'll see where that one goes. My suspicions is that's kind of related to some of the development that's been fairly controversial down in Eugene, where there's been environmental contamination that's impacted residential areas. But you know, it would frankly, it would require, you know, local governments do a health and safety evaluation when industrial projects site if they're within a certain distance of residential areas or other sensitive populations. I'm really not sure where that one's going to end up. And then another is modernizing statewide planning goal one, which is about public participation, which I think a lot of people would agree that it needs attention. The last time statewide planning goal one, I mean, the legislature itself has changed how people can participate in the process pretty significantly. There's a whole lot of things that people used to be able to weigh in on, like residential subdivisions, that they can't do that anymore because it has to be administrative and it has to be clear and objective standards. And so taking a look at that and saying, okay, based on what we've done and where we're at, where is, you know, how can we create opportunities for the public to have meaningful input into planning processes? And at what point do we do that? You know, and do we continue down the path where you get close to the development, that's clear and objective and not the time for them to weigh in. Even though that's generally the time most folks do want to weigh in. You know, they don't want to weigh in when you're talking about comp plan policies and all this ethereal stuff up in the end. They want to weigh in when it's, hey, this developer is going to start breaking ground and I don't like what they want to do and it's right behind my house. So the flip side of this one is if it goes through, there are some legitimate questions whether or not DLCD, Department of Land Conservation and Development, who would be, they would be obligated to kind of staff that process, whether or not they have the bandwidth to do it based on all of the housing and other related things that have been piled on them over the last couple of sessions. But that would have a direct impact in terms of kind of the planning commission and how you interface with people if that process is kind of retooled, because it's going to probably change the planning commission role. And in fact, I haven't found it yet, but I've been told there's a legislative concept that actually gets at the makeup of planning commission specifically. And so when I get my hands on that, I'll definitely share it with you, but I haven't seen it yet. So that's what I had, unless you have any further thoughts on the legislative concepts that are coming together.
Okay. Unfinished business, which I guess would include the work program update.
Yeah, I went ahead and sketched that out for you. So I thought I'd take a minute, just kind of run through that. And there's a couple of things I wanted to also that aren't here yet that may end up on here. I want to touch about that on that as well. So we have for some time had in our work program putting together a housekeeping code amendment package. And so I'd like to have that conversation, begin to kind of frame that out with you at your next meeting in January. As you see, in February 10th, I have a placeholder for review of the new Muni code, municipal code structure. I've talked to Jeannie about that. She thinks that's doable. So she's the one who's working with Muni codes directly on that. If for some reason that slips, I'll have to move it around. Beth in our office is due to come back and talk to you about the comprehensive plan streamlining project. So she'll be doing that on January 27th. A meeting with the council had asked that we put together some property maintenance code changes. This relates to a number of different, there's a planning connection here, and that's why I wanted to at least share with you the directions going so you're aware of that. I'll be meeting with them on the 21st. and the materials coming out of that meeting is what I would be sharing with you. So stay tuned on that. The goal setting would be towards late February. We're doing a retreat with the council earlier, about a week or so, maybe a week or two before that. So what comes out of our staff retreat with council will help kind of inform, you know, where they're going with what they want to see done. And I could share that with you and, you know, kind of see where you want to go with your own goals. The city center revitalization, the next meeting with the consultants on that one, the next meeting with the advisory committee is going to be late February. Public event number two, because we have two major public events as part of that. We've tentatively scheduled that for March 10th and are starting to kind of frame up around that. So that would be your normal work session. The council would come in and join you for that one. So that would be after public event number two, which would be at the end of February. Right, I've got a project management meeting with them in about a week. We want to make sure, at least at a staff level, we get their deliverables in advance so we have a chance to actually review them and provide feedback and not have them just thrown at the advisory committee. This one's going to have a lot of detail to it. This is the one where you're going to start to see, you know, development, comp plan and development code concepts. And what I mean by that is the way Herb works, who's the sub who's doing this part of the work, they're going to say, hey, look, we think you should tackle these different areas within your code, and we can develop detailed pieces, you know, in various areas. They're going to look for that kind of macro level feedback as to which one of which of those areas we want to actually develop full code for and which areas we don't. So it's going to be kind of the higher level look because they don't have the resources to develop detailed code all over the place. We're going to have to make some strategic choices.
And like what?
Like
what?
Design standards to try to get the kind of, mixed use housing we're looking for, say in the commercial core. So there'll be some of that. Probably some commercial standards. They may put together, you know, if we're going to, like, the couplet concept was the one transportation solution that was selected. That's going to allow us to widen out sidewalks considerably. They may want to put, you know, they may say, hey, we can put together some code for how that space is used by adjacent businesses, for example. You know, so there could be a number of pieces like that. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to look like, Bob, yet. But that's part of the proposal. You'll also have the public investments, which is the actual, okay, here's kind of what you're looking at to do the couplet, for example. Incentives, public-private partnerships, that's the, facade improvement kind of concept. You know, how much of that's going to be grants, how much of that might be financial assistance to help property owners abate, you know, asbestos or deal with other issues in aging buildings, potentially demolish, help them cover the cost of demolishing old buildings so that they can redevelop. You know, I'm not sure exactly, but that's kind of what all fits in that package. And then future transportation conditions, they gotta evaluate the transportation solutions long term. That's what that last memo and work's gonna be about, saying, okay, does it work? There'll be, undoubtedly, there'll be signal recommendations as part of that and where they need to be placed, yada, yada. But making sure that whatever is ultimately implemented there at, you know, $10, $12 million is going to last for a while, meet our needs for quite a while. And that's what that assessment's about. There'll be freight components that go into that too. So you'll see some other users, not just vehicles. That's going to look at PED. That's going to look at bicycle needs, transit will all be pieces of that. So it's a lot of information they're pulling together. And we're going to, that's why we're like, we really need to see this in advance. I've got a placeholder in here for Wilder's next. Got a phase six multifamily that Fowler's going to be doing. They're working on the final development plan right now. That will go before you
the subdivision plat won't, but the final development plan will. We had had that conversation. So that's likely to be around early March. That could move. I'm working with the Parking Advisory Committee on what we need to do in Nye Beach for parking demand management. And so that may have some targeted code changes that go along with that. And so that would be in March. And I believe we'll finally have the policies component that goes with the wastewater treatment plant comp plan policies. Those will be getting at things like what the city's policy is for how it disposes of treated solid waste, things of that nature. And as Bob, I remember from years ago, you'd raised that as an issue you'd wanted to actually have a chance to talk about. Should be on the list in terms of what the city's approach will be long term on that front. Oh, I know, and then I do have a minor UGB amendment request that's in our office already, but is waiting on some of the work that's being done on our water treatment, on our water system master plan update. This is a property that's owned by Tonya Warren and Mike Warren. It's next to the water treatment plant, immediately next to the water treatment plant. And we're doing a water system master plan update, and the consultants are looking at, is there actually an additional land need in and around the treatment plant? If there is, that would be justification for us to support the minor UGB amendment. But we need to have that technical information for us to proceed. We're not on a timeline with this, so I've told the Warrens, they're well aware that we're going to hold, and I've told the county, which has a role in this too, that this application is basically on hold until we have that analysis that comes in on the water system master plan that will inform whether or not we really need the additional acreage. And then
is the county still sitting on another one from a couple of years ago?
That one's just in a holding pattern with the applicant. The county ultimately said we're just not going to act on it. We want you to take it back through the city with some changes, and it's the developer's going nowhere. It's this one where, there will be rulemaking to change the rules. I'm on one of those committees, and this has been a pretty significant topic, because one of the pinch points on this is that the current land swap rules require an equivalent amount of developable acreage to go out of the UGB as is coming in. Now the problem with that is that if you're going into a farm and forest area, that's not the bar. If the land going out goes into a resource zone, is it suitable for farming or growing trees? Not is it, an equivalent amount of acreage for building homes, because it's no longer in the UGB. And so that rule really needs to be changed. It's funny, because when we talked about it, the folks at DLCD didn't even know what the catalyst for that particular provision was. Their best guess was that it was put in to try to keep people from using a land swap to basically do a UGB expansion. So, bring in property that's suitable for 100 homes and swap out equivalent acreage, but it's only suitable for 25 homes. That kind of deal. We're in a place right now where housing is a significant need. I don't think we really care or should care whether or not a swap results in more potential housing. That's probably a good thing, as long as the land that's going out is suitable for whatever it's going to be designated for. So stay tuned on that. That rulemaking, though, it's going to take a while. And then the Island Annexation Project is moving forward. We have to get it done this year. And so April is probably a significant check-in point on that. One last item that's not on here is I've been contacted by a couple of different geotechnical engineering firms that would like the Planning Commission to take a hard look at certification requirements for doing geologic reports. This gets into technical certifications. Right now, you have to be a certified engineering geologist. A geotechnical engineer doesn't cut it. Although they could be involved if there's, and would actually potentially be involved if there's structural remediation, like engineered retaining walls that are required or something like that. But the baseline study has to be done by a certified engineering geologist, which is, you know, they're different, slightly different expertise. And so, but these geotechnical engineering firms feel that they could do just as good a job as a certified engineering geologist and would like the ability to be able to prepare the reports. So my advice to them is to engage with you to see if you're willing to take up the issue.
Would potentially the report cost less?
I doubt it, but there would be more options for folks. That would really be the positive on that. We'd probably want to make sure we pull in the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries to provide, you know, their feedback too. It's been a while, and there may have been some changes to the licensing that have brought in those two that have pulled those two disciplines closer, if that makes any sense. Because we haven't touched this since the bruising updates of what was it? Finally wrapped up in 2011, I think it was. Almost a 2-year process. So that's the work program right now.
Okay. Well, with that, the work session is over, and we've got 4 or 5 minutes before the next one.